Welcome to Benefit from the Bible, the Bible teaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. For a printed copy of this sermon and many others, go to BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. God bless your listening. What I'm trying to do here today is trying to help you to take note of all the different references we have in this reading, some to the Father, some to the Son, some to the Holy Spirit. So I tried to color code it. So you'll see that the ones color coded in yellow are references to the Father, the ones in blue, references to the Son, the ones in red have a connection with the Holy Spirit. So I'll point that out a little bit as we go. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, God wants us to keep things in perspective. So when things are temporary, they're only good for this life and maybe not even for this whole life. What we're talking about today is something that sounds too good to be true, but in fact it is true and it has eternal significance. So God wants us to be excited about it. And what I'm talking about are the benefits that God wants us to receive from the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let's go to our text today. We find ourselves in Acts chapter 2, and we want to take a look at part of what Peter said on the day of Pentecost to all the people who had gathered because of the sound of the great rushing wind. So in the very first line here, we're going to pick up with the beginning of the sermon, then we're going to jump way ahead. Notice the first line, though, going to verse 14. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. So keep in mind now that Peter has just received the Holy Spirit along with at least the other apostles. So the reason why I put that in red there is because even though Peter is the one speaking, keep in mind he has just received the Holy Spirit. And I think we can say that the Holy Spirit was speaking through Peter in order to bring this message to the people, thus that part is in red. Also, too, because the Holy Spirit is speaking, let's know how important the message is. So may God enable us to listen to the message, to understand the message, and to eternally benefit from the message. With that said, we're going to jump ahead now in the sermon. You can see in the second part, we're going all the way ahead to verse 22. And we see Peter continuing, or we could say the Holy Spirit continuing, and he said, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God, that is God the Father, with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know." So let's think about this for a moment. When Peter describes Jesus of Nazareth, he's talking about a particular Jesus. That would be Jesus of Nazareth, the one who grew up in that particular place. Also, too, here, I find it interesting that God the Father is the one that was doing these great signs and wonders through God the Son. You would think that God the Son, being the second member of the Holy Trinity, you would think that he would be able to, on his own, to do all the miracles he wants to, apart from God the Father in heaven. But the way it's stated here, though, it is God the Father working through the Son. The important thing to know is that God was showing that there is a connection between God in heaven and this man, Jesus. Think about it even in the Old Testament. When Moses parted the Red Sea, was that saying that he was God? No, it was saying that there's a definite connection between the God in heaven and this man Moses. Or what about the apostles? When they cast out demons, when they raised people from the dead, was it saying that they were God? No, it was showing the connection between God in heaven and those men. Why did God make all these connections between the Old Testament prophets, between Jesus, between the apostles? Well, you have to keep in mind that the whole Word of God was not yet written. So how are the people to know, should I trust this guy or should I trust this guy? How do I know who's telling the truth? God made it clear. God showed with the great signs and wonders, God showed who was connected to him. So God was saying, hey, these people that I'm working through, you listen to what they're saying. That's what he was trying to say there. Notice even the words that Nicodemus said to Jesus from our gospel reading earlier there in John chapter 3. He said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Let's go on further with our text here. Going on to verse 23, it says, "This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." So notice the words there again, that it's God the Father that had this definite plan. So God planned out everything that would happen with his Son in order to take away our sins. And then did it happen exactly as God said? It did. The amazing thing is that Jesus was willing to go along with it, even though it would have the horror of the cross as part of it. He was so obedient to his Father, he loved us so much that he went along with it in order to take away our sins. And then going to verse 24, talking about God the Father, it says, "God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him, the Son of God, to be held by it," in other words, by death. So think about this summary then that I have noted there. People did their wicked part by seizing the Son of God and putting him to death. Jesus did his saving part by being perfectly obedient to the Father, going along with God's plan perfectly to take away our sin. And then God the Father did his part by raising his Son from the dead. So we see everyone doing their part. Let's remember always that God's goodness is greater than our badness. So are we all bad? Should we all go and stand in the corner? We should. And even worse than that, God wants us to admit our badness. He wants to acknowledge our badness. He wants us to be sorry for our badness. But he does not want us to despair over our badness. He wants us to know that no matter how bad we are, God's goodness is even greater. So our badness is never so bad that God cannot forgive us. God wants us to know that his goodness is always greater, and in Christ we are always, always forgiven of our sins. In this third part, you can see the title there, David's Prophecy about the Coming Savior. This is a quote from the Lutheran Study Bible that's going to help us understand how this all fits together here. It's a little bit complicated, but if we understand it rightly, it's going to flow right through, and it'll make a whole lot more sense. So in red it says, "Through David, Christ speaks prophetically of his own soul's deliverance and his body's escape from corruption." So thinking about the Old Testament timeline, we have David living here, and then Christ isn't born until here. So the time in between is about 1,000 years. So we have David saying certain things, but according to the note here, it is saying that the very Son of God, who has not yet put on human flesh, the very Son of God, he is speaking through David. Think about this parallel. As Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, it's not really Peter speaking, it's the Holy Spirit speaking through him. So think about David living 1,000 years before Christ. It really wasn't David speaking, but now it is the Son of God speaking through David. That's what we have right here. So in other words, this information is not about David. This information is about Jesus. Okay? Keep that in mind now as we go to what it says, picking up in verse 25. "For David says concerning him." So I have it in yellow there. So we are referring to God the Father. So David said concerning God the Father. See, now when it says David said, you have to keep in mind, this is really the Son of God, the pre-incarnate Christ said. So what we have, again, I just can't emphasize it enough to get the right understanding. We have the Son of God before he took on human flesh, and he's looking ahead at the life he would live on earth, and he's talking here about that life, and he's talking about that life and how he would proceed through that life in connection with God the Father, who was with him to help him and to bless him and carry him through. Okay? So think about it like that. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Isn't it interesting, though, that you have the Son of God, and he is saying that the Father is at his right hand. So that is before his time on earth. But where does Jesus go after he ascends? So he goes over to the other side. So when we think about this idea of right hand, most people in the world are right-handed, nothing against those who are left-handed. Most people are right-handed, so with your right hand, you have more power, you have more strength. So we see before Jesus did his saving work, he's at the left hand of the Father, but after he completes his work, then we see what Jesus says there in Matthew 28, where he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So now he's over at the right hand of God. He's over at the hand of God's power. That's where he is now, but prior he was over at the left hand of God. So it says, he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. Now, coming to verse 27, it starts with the word for, but we really could substitute the word because. In other words, he's going to tell us why his heart was glad, why his tongue rejoiced, why his flesh will dwell in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. So we can draw this parallel then that I have written out there. So I wrote, as Jesus lived here, trusting his Father and living in harmony with his will, so we live here on earth, trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ and trying to live our lives in agreement with his will for us. And then in letter A, I asked the question, who was David talking about? As we come to the answer, keep in mind, we have the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, so God had sworn with an oath to him, that is to David, that he would set one of his descendants on the throne. David foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. So with David, David was a great man, David lived, David died, David is still dead. But when it comes to our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the second person of the Trinity. He came down from heaven. He put on human flesh. He lived. He died. He rose. He was not abandoned to the grave. So God wants us to see that that's not true of David. These things are true of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in letter B, how do those words apply to Jesus? Picking up in verse 32, this Jesus God raised up, and of that, we, in other words, the apostles, all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. So keep in mind, we're talking about the day of Pentecost. We have the apostles with the tongues of fire on their heads. We have them speaking in all these languages that they have not studied. So that's what it's talking about there, all by the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 34, for David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself, in other words, David says, the Lord said to my Lord. In other words, when it says the Lord, it's talking about God the Father. When it says my Lord, it's talking about God the Son. So the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand now. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So some of the ways here that we are blessed now by the Holy Trinity, the Father created everything. He did that work through his Son. The Father sent his Son to remove our sins, to make us holy in his sight. The Son is the winner over sin, death and the devil and more. And then the Holy Spirit came. He came from the Father to the Son to us. And why did he do that? In order to give us the gift of faith by which we trust in the Son of God as our only Savior, by which we have the forgiveness of our sins. So God is working in all these wonderful ways. We come now to the conclusion of Peter's sermon. So keep in mind, probably thousands of people gathered on that day, because the Bible tells us a little bit later in Acts chapter 2 that there were 3,000 that were baptized on that day. So probably those 3,000 and maybe even more were in that crowd. So here's the conclusion with all that he has said now. Verse 36, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God, thus God the Father, has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So let me go through my list to give you an idea of who this person is that they chose to betray, to seize, and put to death in the most horrible way. Who is this person? We're talking about the Savior promised to Adam and Eve, the Messiah, the one anointed by the Holy Spirit, the one through whom God the Father did many miracles, the one who willingly received our sins and paid our penalty, the one raised by the Father on the third day, the one who ascended to the Father's right hand on the 40th day, the one who poured out the Holy Spirit on the 50th day, and the one who is now reigning over all things for the good of those who trust in him. That is the one who is both Lord and Christ. How did they react there on the day of Pentecost? The Bible says that they were cut to the heart. If somebody came up here right now and with some kind of a sharp object, if you cut my heart, I'm going to die, and there is no escape from that. So the Bible says they were cut to the heart, and they said, brothers, what shall we do? They probably didn't think there was anything they could do, but they said, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said, there is good news. He said, repent, therefore, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. So you can see how God's goodness is greater than our badness. The very people that put to death the Son of God, even for them, God's goodness is greater than their badness. So there is forgiveness for them. Think about all the bad stuff we have done. And yet God wants us to know with certainty that we are forgiven in Jesus Christ. Isn't that such a wonderful thing? It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how long we did it. It doesn't matter. God wants us to know that when we have Christ, we have God's gift of forgiveness. So regarding what I said earlier about the free car and such, not true. Sorry about that. However, though, regarding the gift of forgiveness in Jesus Christ, that is true. And it's for everyone. With the free car idea, it was only for the first 10. But with God's forgiveness, it is for everyone of all time. So we can never have too many people. God wants us to know the good news is so good. Therefore, seeing the great necessity of having God's forgiveness, let us gladly receive, and by God's grace, let us eternally benefit. And all God's people said, amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, give us a try at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma, Ohio. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, study at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. These are other ways to connect with us. Visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. Subscribe to our podcast by searching for Benefit from the Bible. Visit us on Facebook by searching for Bethlehem Lutheran Church Parma. Call us at 440-845-2230. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.